Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ihr mögt euch setzen.
You may be seated.
Dem Herrn sei Dank,
to the Lord be the thanks that we may be here tonight to hear his precious and holy word. Although my voice is not so right as I would like to have it, the word of the Lord remains always the same, and it will accomplish for what God has sent it for. Just feel at home. Just feel welcome. And all who, for instance, those who don't know the language in which the chorus books are written, may God bless you also. Just be patient with us. Bear with us. We are, of course, not singing to glorify men. We are singing for the glory of God.
Then
I would like to thank all of you who were patient, so that all are satisfied with the accommodation. And if there would be a need, then please tell it to me. Don't tell it to anyone. Please tell it to me. And then we will make all things well. We really want that all are feeling at home. And especially you parents with children, please pay attention. Watch over your children. Also tonight when we have the Lord's Supper, watch so that there's no disturbance. Please be so kind, so that the Lord can richly bless us. We have a large number of greetings. Brother Wallström, our old friend and brother, he's greeting all of you. Brother Mbie is sending special greetings. There, more than 2,000 people are gathering who are also now joining us and who are having part in the proclamation. Then Brother David from Cape Town, Brother Graf, Brother Gilson, Brother Idoni, Brother Paul Nyagi, Brother Joseph from Kinshasa, Brother Adi from Romania, Brother Jürgen from Chile, Brother Lotika from South Africa. And then it continues here with our brother Manasse from Lyon, with brother Grazian from Ashdod. Brother Grazian from Ashdod, he gave me a special gift from Israel, a shofar. Shofar. The word shofar is written 11 times in the Hebrew Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 8 up to chapter 11. Everywhere where it's written trumpet in our Bibles, there in the Hebrew, the word shofar is written. With a shofar, the trumpet feast was introduced, the day of reconciliation was introduced. In Israel, the shofar is still being blown. God bless Brother Grazian. Maybe I can say this here at this occasion. We, of course, had a richly blessed Israel trip. We will come back to it just now. And Brother Grazian, he brought two brothers who are Israeli citizens. He brought them to Jerusalem. And both accepted the Lord and the grace. And both of them were baptized. Then we have greetings from the capital of the Ivory Coast. It's a bit difficult to express here. Then a very long name.
Yamoussoukro.
And then we have greetings from Libreville, greetings from Abidjan, greetings from Brother Motika from Johannesburg, greetings from Bologna, from Italy. Right now, hear the remark. We have heard of the two earthquakes and of that what happened in North Italy. And just imagine the church, which somehow collapsed, there the priest took two firemen and he said, "Come with me. I have to save the Madonna." And the two remained at the exit, and he went there to save the Madonna. And then a piece of wood fell down, and he was dead on the spot. Some things are happening about which some people should think about. Then we have greetings from Burma, greetings from Haiti, greetings from Brother Genton, Etienne. He's greeting us with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27. And with Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, all of us know these precious scriptures. Then greetings from Kujir, from Romania. Greetings from Brother John, from Bucharest. Greetings from South Africa, from Brother Joshua. Greetings from Brother David, from I don't know. He didn't write the place. Then the greetings from Burundi. Greetings from Abidjan. And then greetings from Brother Richard. From Brother Richard. From Romania. Then one greeting from Romania. And then once again a greeting from Oslo. For the first time, greetings from Oslo and an invitation to come there. Then another greeting from Libreville, Gabon. Then greetings from Budapest. Once again greetings from Haiti. Greetings from Brother Pino Davi, greetings from Brother Klut from Cape Town. He's also greeting with First Kings and then with Acts. Greetings from Brother Joseph from Atlanta. Greetings from Ottawa, Canada. Once again, greetings from Denver, Colorado. And once again, greetings from Lubumbashi. Greetings from Peking. From Peking, greetings. May God bless them there. Then, greetings from Brother Joseph from Kinshasa. May the Lord bless all our brothers, all our sisters who are joined together with us worldwide. May God bless all who are joining us online, who are watching and listening from the riches of His grace. All of us, we understood that we are living in a very special time. And all are speaking of the end time. And if we are following the news, and here the IDEA magazine Spectrum, he gives very good news, whether politics or religion, whatever. It was reported about how many pilgrimages, how many millions of pilgrimages were made to all the pilgrimage places, and how often the Madonna was carried, how often the crucifix was kissed, and what things went on. Also from all the free denominations, everywhere the multitudes were coming together, and all spoke of Good Friday, of Easter. They spoke about, without judging now, all have bypassed of what happened for us. Not one has Christ. Not one has preached Christ, the crucified one. They have celebrated a feast. We are not here to celebrate a feast. We are here to thank God with all our hearts, thanking Him for the redemption. We, of course, heard it. Although our sins would be red as crimson, they should be white as snow. The most important prophet, Isaiah, the most important prophet in the plan of salvation, he has written it down beforehand. He wrote it, although your sins would be red as crimson, it should become white as snow. The announcements of the Old Testament became true, and by grace we can have part in it. Just now, we are coming back to it. Now, what really touched me very much is the godlessness, which is so publicly, it's so public. Here we have it. Really, they were filming a truck of atheists, which are traveling through the whole country, and their message is God is dead. And on the other hand, they say, there is no God. And just imagine what the president has said here as the introduction. God is not with us. We all understand this. If an atheist says, God is not with us, this we all understand. But do you know what the multitude answered to it? And they were clapping their hands. Hallelujah. This a man must imagine. There's somebody proclaims God does not exist, God is dead, God is not in our midst, and then comes the applause, and then comes a hallelujah. Everything has just taken over. Godlessness. Godlessness. Everything took over. And in all the pious circles, there really the religion took over. All are celebrating their own feasts. All are celebrating themselves. And all are bypassing what God has done by His grace for our salvation. And that what really hurt me so much, on the other hand, it caused thankfulness in me. Namely, that there are people on earth who can say, God is among us. God is in our midst. He is alive. The Lord is risen. He has conquered death. He has conquered hell. And He has given us eternal life by His grace. Of a truth, it's a gift of God. If we in this time can believe according to the scripture, today we will read two or three scriptures from the Old Testament. We will emphasize them to show us that everything what God commanded, it had to be brought before the entrance of the tabernacle. Nobody could sacrifice in the country where and how he liked. He who wanted to bring God well-pleasing sacrifices and offerings, he had to come with his sacrifice to the entrance of the most holy place. Otherwise, it was idol worship and not serving and worshiping God. One really, I just did it now. I looked it up. When I heard of all this news, how all are celebrating their own teachings, here, even about the Trinity, and then are philosophizing about it, how God exists in three. God does not exist in three. God is one God. But He personally revealed Himself not as an extra person, but personally He revealed Himself as our Father in heaven. Personally He revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Personally He took dwelling in us by the Holy Spirit. Of course, not three persons, but one single God who realizes His plan of salvation. Also, this is grace, brothers and sisters, that we recognized God, and only He who recognized God was also recognized by Him. He loved us first, so that we can love Him back. Now, just briefly, we of course were in Israel. I believe altogether it were 102 persons in three languages. Everything was in harmony. And we truly, every time, We were overwhelmed anew because at every occasion we read the corresponding scriptures and we could just thank God with all our hearts. We were reading the scripture that God was dividing the sea and the waters were standing left and right like a wall. At the Dead Sea, at the city of Engedi, we were reading from Ezekiel 47 that now in the Dead Sea, there will be so many fishes as in the Mediterranean Sea, and that one will cast out nets and one will really take out fishes in masses. If one thinks about it, how God has ordered everything beforehand, but when will it happen? When the temple will be built, when the river will break forth from the temple and it will flow up into the Dead Sea. It must be God himself who works in a supernatural way, and we recognize that it is with us in the same way. Everything started with Bethlehem. Now, just for your orientation, all of us, we just read Bethlehem. But in Hebrew, it says Bethlehem. Beth is house and Lechem is bread. House of bread. Bethlehem. Bread house. And then our Lord says, I am the living bread which has come down from heaven. Your fathers were eating manna in the desert and they died. Whoever eats of that bread which I will give, he will live forever. It's just so wonderful how God already in the Old Testament, even what the names mean, the names have a meaning. In the same way with Gethsemane, in our language it means oil press. Our Lord, the Anointed One, went through Gethsemane. He was wrestling. He was in supplication, in agony. Also there, we just passed by there because the church took over the place under their supremacy. And we could not have a service there like usual. The priest just didn't allow it. Everywhere the church is doing what they like. But we will not go here into detail. In any case, if we look into the Holy Scripture and if we see how God foreshadowed the plan of salvation, and then by grace he is carrying it out. And then Golgotha, one can read it, Golgotha, the skull hill. You can read it in Matthew 27. There was a Golgotha, a skull hill. We also looked there and we were thanking the Lord with all our hearts that there was this great day of reconciliation of God with mankind, that the blood of the new covenant was shed for many. And whoever believes in the reconciliation of all,
das Wort alle einsetzen. Es gibt ja
There's the so-called teaching of the reconciliation where they say that one day all will be saved. Saved will only be who accepts and receives the salvation in Christ. To live eternally can only he who received eternal life. And therefore the true proclamation of the true gospel. And before we can preach the gospel, we must tell the people that all of us were lost, separated from God, given over to death, without hope, living in this world. And only then, and this I'm saying now, especially for all the newcomers, also in view to the Lord's Supper, which we will celebrate tonight. Let me say this here very clearly. Only he who recognizes that he is lost, that he is given over to death, only he can call for salvation. Only he will call upon the name of the Lord. And it's just necessary for all the newcomers that not just partaking of the Lord's Supper here, but as Paul has written, each one shall examine himself, and afterward let him eat. It just has to be said here, only he who received and accepted the salvation for him personally, he who, what happened on the cross of Calvary, he who believes it with all his heart, and he who experienced the reconciliation with God personally, he should and may partake of the Lord's Supper. Because by this we prove that we believe that our Lord and Savior died for us on the cross of Calvary. And that there is just one name, and there's only one in whom is the salvation of God. And this is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, in reference to Israel, I was thinking on two scriptures. I was thinking of Deuteronomy 30, where the Lord already at that time, after the Exodus, he announced that they will be scattered among all nations, and at the end of days, they will be brought back again. Then Ezekiel, chapter 11, where the Lord, from 17 to 19, he said that he will bring his people of Israel back into their homeland, and that he will give them a new heart and a new spirit. I just say why I mention this. All of us, we were at the Wailing Wall, and all the men, they are allowed to go to the Wailing Wall. And here we have a Tefillin. Here the creed, the statement of faith, which God has given to his people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, from verse 4 to verse 9, he has given them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. All of you, all of us, we know the statement of faith. We looked at it, how the men were having this tefillin around their arm, around their fingers, 3 meters and 70, 3 meters and 70 all together, around the arm, around the fingers, back again, and the other one on the forehead, and the one on the left arm. And the Lord commanded it. He said, of course, that they should bind it on their forehead, that they should bind it on their arm, that they should speak of it day and night. But when we looked at it, I was thinking by myself, it really breaks one's heart and everything what is in us. According to the letter, one can fulfill the letter. But he who does not come to the tabernacle and hears the voice of God, he has a form, he has a law, he has a tradition, but revelation comes only from God. And therefore, I just read you now the places from, firstly, from Leviticus. Leviticus. Here, we have the hint to that what the Lord at that time commanded, what should be done. Leviticus 14. I will not read all the verses, but especially for the translators, Leviticus 14, from verse 10, here the instruction is given of the various sacrifices is given. Here it says, at the end of verse 11, Leviticus 14, at the end of verse 11,
Opfer darbringen vor dem Herrn an dem Eingang des Offenbarungszeltes,
before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, at the entrance, at the door of the tabernacle, there the sacrifices should be brought. Then it's listed, one offering after the other. And once again, it's written in verse 23, Leviticus 14, verse 23,
auch letzter Teil an dem Tage, an dem es tut, soll erklären zu dem Priester. Und zwar
for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. So, not somewhere bringing it, but at the door of the tabernacle. And I tell you also why. When our Lord died on the cross of Calvary, the veil was torn from top to bottom. The access to the Ark of the Covenant was free. In the Ark was the revealed word of God. The sacrifices, the offerings should only make the entrance free. In the same way it happened by the offering of the Lamb on the cross of Calvary was given the access to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you can read on how everything should be consecrated to the Lord. The thumb, the ear, the toe, the right toe, and not only by the offering and by the blood, but also anointing with oil. The ear which was applied with the blood was then anointed, and the right thumb at the right hand, which was full of blood, was then anointed. And then the right toe, where the blood was applied, was then also anointed to consecrate the redeemed man. This was the consecration. The same it is today, brothers and sisters. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need the confirmation that God accepted us and that we have become His own possession by His grace. Then we have here in chapter 17, Leviticus chapter 17, we also have it of the door of the tabernacle. It's spoken of. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 4, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So, who brought it somewhere? One should read also verse 3. What man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's what's all about. That's what's all about. Not after one's own discretion, here or there, bring it. No, before the presence of God, at the door of the tabernacle. In the same way, in verse 5, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. Up to there, all could do what they liked. Now, just be honest. Was not that also our condition in all the denominations? Did we not all do what was being taught there and practiced there? Only with a calling out, it happens. That we come out from everything what is not in agreement with God and His Word. And by this, we were placed into the will of God. Listen what is written in verse 6 and verse 7. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's what's all about the door to get the access. Then comes verse 7. And they, all who continued in their own things, they were worshipping idols, and they were not worshipping God. Let us read it in verse 7. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a whoring. It was idol worship. On one hand, a sacrifice. On the other hand, idol worship, because it was not done according to the word and will of God. Then it says, this shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And then verse 9. And bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. On one hand, a sacrifice. On the other hand, it's being done after one's own discretion, after one's own will. And they did it like they, as they liked. Didn't we understand that God had an order for Israel and that God has an order for the New Testament church? That not each one can do what he likes, and nevertheless referring to God and his word. No, the divine order must be established in the New Testament church. I just had to read up these scriptures to know before God what has to be said to the church in this time, coming out from all traditions, from all confessions, from all religions, coming back to God, back to the biblical pattern. I mentioned it before, about all subjects it was written and spoken about, also about the baptism, about all subjects. And then the question is, who comes to the tabernacle? To whom is Matthew 28 revealed by the Spirit? Who goes from Matthew 28 to Acts chapter 2, verse 38? Who goes to chapter 8, verse 16? Who goes to chapter 10, verse 48? Only he who stands before the tabernacle and who accepted the sacrifice for himself and who could enter and who knows that the veil is torn in pieces. We have not only the letter, we have the revelation of that, what the Lord said. All that what I had to look at the recent days, it was the cause to tell this to you, to tell you all over the world, that this is the time of God. To everything what belongs to him, to what everything what he purchased, that we really come before the most holy place, and that the Lord can speak to us through his revealed word, and that he can reveal himself to us. Now, one question. If one would go to all the great speakers and would ask them, did you know about what God has done in our time? You can imagine what kind of an answer you would get. All are imprisoned in their own traditions, and all are convinced of it, that it is right. And each one of them are convinced that the others are wrong, and we alone are right. And if we can just mention it here, Also in our country, in the country where the breakthrough of the Reformation happened, yes, many things are going on, that in the year 2017, everything will be united again, that the Reformation will be made undone. Brothers and sisters, before this happens, the calling out must have taken place, because then the mark of the beast sets in, and whoever has the seal of God is safe forever, and whoever will not have the seal of God will receive the mark of the beast. There's only one of both. There's nothing in between. The ones will be sealed. They have part in the opening of the seals, which God has given in our time. And one has to just mention it time and again. It was, of course, not a man who planned or did something. It was of God. It was, of course, the Lord God who put his word unto the lampstand to set us free from all traditions. Please receive it, accept it all over the earth. Take it seriously. The time where we do what we like is over. Now the will of God must happen, because only in the will of God we can be sanctified by his grace. That's how it is written in Hebrews chapter 10. Let us summarize of what it is all about today, before we come to the Lord's Supper. The Lord has let go forth his last call. He has drawn our attention to that, what he promised and what he has done. For who are they who are hearkening to that what the Spirit is saying unto the churches? Of course, not all the charismatics who are celebrating their dances and are moving everything around. No, they who are under the blood and who have received the anointing of the Spirit, because only the Holy Spirit leads into all truth, and only the blood-bought flock let themselves be led by the Holy Spirit into all the truth. All the others will continue as unto now. Brothers and sisters, this is the great grace which the Lord has given us in this time. Also, that we can look at the sealed book as being open, and that what others are bypassing, this has become a great blessing for us. Now just imagine, God would have done nothing supernatural in our time. Just imagine, the Lord would not have revealed himself as the same in our time if we could just preach what God has done 4,000 or 2,000 years ago. If we could not stand here and we can say of a truth, I'm ear and eye witness that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he, as the risen one, has come down in the pillar of cloud, in the pillar of fire, that he has led out his people As then, out of Egypt, we all of course know what took place and how it took place. God has given the promise to Abraham, after 400 years, I will lead out your descendants. And when the time was fulfilled, God remembered the promise. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush. He has given him two signs as confirmation. You know all these chapters from Exodus 4 to Exodus 12, in what kind of mighty way the Lord has given grace. And what was the message? Let my people go. Let my firstborn go, that he may serve me. Before that, my people, my son, and with chapter 12, my church, the ecclesia, the lamb was slain, the first Pesach lamb was slain, the blood was applied, the covenant with God was established, and the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this happened. It happened. All who were under the blood in the house, they were kept safe. And they experienced everything what the Lord has done. In the same way, it is now. All who applied and who accepted the blood of the new covenant, as written already in the prophet Jeremiah 31, after those days I will make a new covenant with you. And our Lord, he said it, of course, in Matthew. He said it very clearly. This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many, for the remission of sins. God reconciled us with himself. And as said and emphasized before, let me once again emphasize it, and maybe even more. Everything that is done according to one's own discretion in all the denominations is behind us. The Lord builds his church, and this is the church of the firstborn. And he has become the firstborn for us among many brethren. Although he was Lord, the I Am he was, who came to Moses, who came to Abraham, who spoke to all the prophets. He came to us. He took upon himself a body of flesh, so that we who have sinned in the body of flesh, so that we could be redeemed, and we were redeemed. And at the resurrection, we will have his resurrection body. We will be like he is, because he has become like us. This is redemption. This is the love of God, which was manifested by his grace. And at this special day now, actually, I wanted to read all these scriptures. I would like to read them. Also that what is written in John chapter 19, it is finished. And then it's written so that the scripture might be fully fulfilled. Everything was fulfillment of the scripture. Even the betrayal with 30 pieces of silver. Everything was fulfillment of scripture. And the resurrection of our Lord was written in Psalms 16. I will not leave his soul in hell, neither let his body see corruption. Everything took place for our sakes. And on this day, in which we remember, in which we celebrate the Lord's Supper in a special way, but not celebrating in the sense as the world is doing it. No. As our Lord said, I really desired to have this supper with you, with them for whom he shed his blood, for them whom he has chosen before the foundation of the world to be his own possession. It really, he desired to have this supper. Also with us tonight, to have this supper. Once again, perhaps all those who are still doubting whether God really received them. It's of course written in John chapter 1, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. In this name, Jesus, Hebrew Yahshua, which just means Yahweh Savior. Yahweh Savior. Also here, it would be nice if in the Hebrew language everything would be recited in a way as it is written in the Old Testament and foretold in the New Testament. Foretold. But also all those who speak Hebrew, except unless it is revealed to them by God, unless they are coming to the door of the tabernacle of Revelation, unless they really surrender their whole body to God under the blood of the Lamb. Otherwise, they will just read up to now, like they will bind the tefillin around, they will bind their head. Here we have it. At every door, right at the eyesight, the statement of faith, at every door, at every hotel, everywhere, atheists, what they are, all have the mezuzah in their houses, at their door, at the entrance. Once again, to the special point, without revelation, nothing happens. And revelation means that we have to apply the shed blood for us, and then receiving the anointing, and then coming to the door of the tabernacle, so that the Lord really can speak to us. I am convinced that God has spoken to us in a wonderful way, and that God has really taken us into the Holy of Holies. Please, believe it with all your heart. Without revelation, all of us go astray. Only when the Lord really reveals himself to us. This is that what he said to Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. Also to us. Not flesh and blood has revealed us the things which are hidden to others. Why? Our ear was consecrated to God. Our hand was consecrated to God. We not only heard what the Spirit says to the churches. We are ready to do what the Lord has commanded us in His Word. And not only that, we are ready to walk in His ways and to do His will by His grace. To this, I read Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and here, verses 19 to maybe 23. Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of the new covenant. Not only to the door of the tabernacle, but into the holiest, into the direct presence of God, so that the Lord can speak to us directly. Verse 20, this is the new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. He has prepared the way for us. He has shed His blood. He has torn the veil. He entered, and we may enter together with Him. You can all read on. In what kind of wonderful way the plan of salvation of our God, also our Redeemer, in all His tasks, as the Lamb of God, as the Son of God, as the High Priest, as Mediator, as Advocate, as King, in all His areas, He was shown to us. And then, as John has written in the 5th chapter, who is God over all. Praise be to God. Amen. All the others are revelations. But He remains the eternal God throughout eternity. Then, verse 23, Hebrews 10, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised. Blessed and praised be the Lord. I could read scripture after scripture. But as announced already, we will have the Lord's Supper. What is really on my heart are, of course, all the young people, that before that they consecrate their lives to the Lord, that they don't let the Lord pass by, and that they don't let the supper pass them by, but may they receive and accept the Lord. But the same applies, of course, for all of us. Whoever has not accepted and received the Lord yet, may he do it now. And let him say in his heart, Dear Lord, You are my Savior. You died for me. You have shed your blood for me. You have reconciled me to God. You have forgiven me all things. Although my sin is red as crimson, it became white as snow. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us from all sin. Now just one thing remains. This is the unbelief. And here, we don't only have to have the washing in the blood, but we have to be purified by the word of the word, taking a bath in the word. Forgiveness is in the blood, but then comes the correction by the word of God. And then we take a bath in the word of God. And by this, we receive the sanctification in the presence of God. Today, before we prepare the table and before we celebrate the supper, let me once again pray for all who would like to consecrate their lives to the Lord fully, fully, without any but, and never looking back. If we look back, whoever looks back, it will be like Lot's wife. And our Lord says, whoever puts his hand to the plow, let him not look back. Because one knows, if one plows and looks back, then the plow is out of the track. Let us make our decision now for God. For me, the recent days, whether in Israel or whether the news which I was listening or which I read, for me, it was just I just had to once again proclaim the counsel of God and tell the whole world there is in no other name salvation. There was no other name given under heaven to men by which they can be saved. And now one word to all who refer to the message and the messenger, brothers and sisters. There's no way around our Lord. There the way starts at Calvary. How many are thinking, because they believe the message. Yeah, their message, their interpretation. And please forgive me if I just say this here critically. The press also reported about what kind of pilgrimages are made to Jeffersonville, to the grave of Brother Branham. About everything it was reported. Every Easter, hundreds are coming there to the grave in the expectation that it could happen. We as believers, we are of course not waiting for the resurrection of a man. We are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And we are waiting for the resurrection of those who went before us. And therefore the Holy Scripture says, all who were ready, they went in to the marriage supper. Please, take this day seriously. All you who are here today, all over the world who are listening, everything at its place. Our beloved Lord, the crucified one, the risen one, the one who ascended to heaven, He will return. He is our hope. He is everything for us. All of us who have the privilege to not only come to the door of the tabernacle and to remain standing there, no, to see the veil is torn, the Ark of the Covenant is open, all of the plan of salvation of our God was revealed. We are not ashamed of it to say that God had a Moses, he had an Elijah, a John the Baptist, a Peter, a John, a Paul, that he had a Martin Luther, a Zwingli, a John Wesley, that he had all these men of God. We are also grateful, and especially grateful that the Lord made his promise true. And in this prophetic age, he has sent us a prophet like Elijah to turn the heart of the children of God back. I could read from Luke chapter 1 what was written of John. The same repeated, to him, the Almighty God, be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand up, and before we read the introducing words from Corinthians, let us all stand. Perhaps the two sisters have an inviting song for all of us so that we can use this time for prayer, to give an invitation to come to the Lord, and then we will believe together and we will pray together. And I'm just asking today, before the table is prepared, that after we have prayed, that also our choir sings again. He will find a fitting song. For me, this is really a special day, a day which the Lord has made, a day which he has really shown us what has happened by the blood, what has happened by the Spirit, what is necessary and what has happened already by his grace. Before we pray, and after the prayer, we ask the singers that they sing us a song.
Bist du bereit zu der Stunde, wenn Gott die Seinen heimholt? Hast du vernommen die Kunde, wie er die Seinen belohnt, wenn er erscheint in den Wolken, in Majestät und in Pracht? Ich kann's nicht sagen in Worten, mein Herz es jubelt und wacht. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Kannst du begreifen die Liebe, die Jesus Christus dir beut? Bist du mit ihm dann im Frieden, wenn Jesus käme noch heut? Er hat die Städte bereitet für die noch wartende Schar, die immer treu für wir in Streiten, es kommt der verheißene Tag. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Nichts ist vom Leid mehr geblieben, Spott und Hohn sind dann vorbei. Jesus will allzeit dich lieben, dies meine Losung soll sein. Möchtest du mit in die Heimat, willst Jesus du einmal sehen. Er nur bringt dich in die schöne Stadt, du brauchst nur zu Jesus zu gehen. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand.
Amen. Wir am großen Abend- und Hochzeitsmahl in der Herrlichkeit teilhaben möchte,
whoever wants to, like, to partake of the marriage supper can also start already today. Today the Lord desires to have the supper with us. We are bowing our heads. We are closing our eyes. And I'm asking that all who would like to consecrate their lives to the Lord, to then in a worthy way partake of the Lord's supper, please raise your hand. The Lord God bless you. Precious Lord, you ever faithful God, you are still speaking, you are still calling, you are still forgiving. Dear Lord, we are consecrating ourselves to you. We are praying now for all who have raised their hands. Dear Lord, be merciful. Give the assurance of salvation. For in thy blood is the full reconciliation, the full forgiveness. Dear Lord, may all receive it now for themselves. And even the sin would be red as crimson. It should become white as snow. It has become by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It has become white. There is nothing left. Snow white garments the Lord has given to his bride, without spot and without wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in the word of truth, sealed with the Holy Ghost. Beloved Lord, receive us tonight. Receive us tonight and give each one the assurance of salvation, each individual, that you received them. To you be the adoration. In Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah.
And all the people say,
Amen.
Amen. Now we read the introducing words, and then the table is prepared. And then I would like to ask to sing us a song, the choir. From 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. We all know the introducing words from verse
23.
1 Corinthians, chapter 11, from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body for you, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And all the people say,